Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and this is part 175 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this will be program number 277. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will tell you four different ways at the end of the program how to get a copy of either the CD or a tape copy. Also, if you can't afford a Bible, we'll send you one free of charge. Everything is free of charge with us. And a Messiah book and some literature that will help you be a soul winner. And that's what the Lord called us all together to be, is soul winners. And we have some testimonials today. We have some things about one of the branches of the Vatican, the Antichrist, which is called the Cult Awareness Network. Their mission for the Pope is to destroy every Christian, true Christian church on earth. It's amazing how the devil calls himself a Christian. That's just wishful thinking. Amen. Yeah. Then we have some music and some more expose of the Roman canon law, which shows you how opposite the Bible Roman canon law is. Roman canon law is actually democracy. Democracy started in Rome, Italy, by the Roman Catholic cult. And they run the media. You'll see that every Christmas they have no other church on television except the Roman Catholic cult doing their mass. Or some denominational church that has united themselves with them. And it's amazing to me that there are a lot of churches that used to be Pentecostal that, because of the fear of persecution, they've joined up with the Antichrist. And the Lord stated that through the Apostle Paul, don't think that the Lord's coming back to earth again unless you first see a great falling away from the churches. The Lutherans now are united. Some of the Pentecostals are. There's United Baptist Churches. Anytime you see the word united before them, I could give you a laundry list of all those that have that are united this or united that. They're united to Antichrist, and that's your big falling away, the great falling away. And the Bible says that Satan would then sit in the temple of God. Well, don't you know that we are the temple of God? And that's what happens when a person becomes or a church becomes united with the Vatican, as Satan comes into all the bodies of the people that have decided to be Antichrist, then rather than to be Christ, and Satan sits down in them, showing himself that he's God of them, that their God is Satan instead of the God of heaven and earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that created them and everything in heaven and on earth. Well, we've got a lot here, so let's go up to the throne now and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Father, we thank and praise your holy, wonderful name at this Christmas season. This is Christmas Eve 2006, and we thank you for magnifying yourself through us in these last days. There's no... you magnify your word higher than your name. And it's just amazing how many people say that your word is nothing. And in the first book of Proverbs, you say that because of the fact that they made your word to be nothing, that when they cry out to you while they're going out into the pit of hell and the lake of fire, you're going to start laughing and mocking and scoffing at them. And this is why we preach this word, is so to warn people of what's coming up on the agenda. Things are so evil in this world today, Father, that you say that no flesh would be able to handle it. Nobody would be able to stand the times that we're living in unless you shorten the time. And because of those of us that are your elect, the highly chosen, many are called, but few are chosen, but because of your elect, you're going to shorten the days, and it's going to end abruptly. And you said you're going to come back. The end is going to come back like a thief in the night. And people will not be expecting it. They're going to be drinking and banqueting marrying and giving in marriage and just going along with everyday business. And then all of a sudden you're going to, the Son of Man, the sign of the Son of Man is going to be in the eastern skies. And then the heavens are going to open up like a big scroll, like a huge heavenly amphitheater, and everyone from earth is going to see you coming down to earth. And the people will be weeping and wailing and running for rocks and mountains to fall on them to hide them from your wrath, Jesus. It is written, and it's going to happen so soon. But before, we know that a lot of different plagues are going to come down on earth, and they could all happen within like a day or a few days. And so therefore, you've called us and sent us into the world to warn the people of the wrath, your wrath that is soon to come, and then the judgment that is soon to come. And if the Spirit, your Spirit, does not dwell in them, there's no possible way that they're going to heaven, but they're going to spend eternity, as you say in your word, in the lake of fire, where hell, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And the smoke of the torments of the people there will go up and up into the heavens eternally. And it's just so terrible. It's stupid for people not to accept you, Father, to accept your precious Son, Christ Jesus. You and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all one. Lord, we ask that you open up the minds, the hearts, the spirits, the souls of everybody in Radio Land, that they receive this message, that their souls might be saved and the church lifted up and strengthened. In Jesus' name, I pray, we all pray, in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, I have a song for you here, and it's called You Can't. You know, a lot of you people are storing away wealth on this side of eternity, and, you know, storing up all kinds of property and warehouses full of things and everything. But you never know that you're going to live another minute. And the Lord may come and get you in an automobile wreck today and take you up. And he might come and get you, the death angel, in the middle of the night while you're laying there helpless. And so this song is a warning to those of you. You should do something that to spread the gospel with your finances. You know, we have heard of sponsors that would pick up the tab for all the different newspapers in the country and around the world. Some of you people that have deep pockets out there. And also, you could sponsor our radio broadcast, because the Lord wants you to do that. It's a commandment. If you don't, you're robbing God. What good is it to have your money stored away and then your life to be taken and you never did any real good with it to help souls get saved? Well, anyway, here's the song, You Can't Take It With You Where You're Going.
Traffic in a turmoil by the sidewalk. Somewhere someone left to meet their fate. Other people stand around and just talk, when they could do more than just debate. Everybody's sweating about the dollar, yelling, penny saved is penny. How's it gonna help them when they holler, if it sends them to a place to burn? You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction knowing someone had a little brighter. Help somebody turn a tear to laughter, be Samaritan along your way. There's no social standings in hereafter. everybody dies the same old way. You can't take it with you where you're going. There's no place to spend it either way. You might as well get satisfaction nowhere. Someone had a little brighter day. When you help somebody be free, you can't shuck the Lord, now don't you know. Helping others can be fun to feel, 'cause you can't take it with you when you go. No, you can't take it with you when you go.
Praise the Lord. You can't take it with you where you're going. I remember when I was fairly young, and I was living in Cleveland, Ohio at the time, and I was in the house of a girlfriend of mine that I was dating, of course, in the Christian church. Nobody dates. It's unscriptural. People get in a lot of trouble. The Bible says for you to shun the very appearance of evil. That's why there's so much fornication in the world today, because they believe in dating, and the parents give them their sons the car, and they go out with their dates, and they give them plenty of money and so on, and then they wind up in bed with each other, and then they get pregnant, and then to hide it, they go to an abortion parlor and commit first-degree murder, the woman does. But anyway, I was in this the house out in Novelty, Ohio, which is the suburb of Cleveland, and this we're just in there having a pretty good time with the parents, the mother, and the dad. And the dad was the head of the power company of Cleveland, and or he was the one that fixed also the hydrants. Every night it seemed like, in especially Friday and Saturday, there would be all these hydrants. Cars would run into these fire hydrants, and he had the job of supplying me. They gave him that business, and he did pretty well with it. And one day we're sitting in there just having a good time, and in comes this Catholic priest, and he starts railing on this big, strong Mr. Johnson. He said, "Why did you not turn in your tithes? Why are you," he says, "you dirty," and he started calling them, using profanity on him. And I thought, man, it was this little creep coming in here. Of course, I wasn't saved, and I couldn't believe the profanity that this Catholic priest was using on Mr. Johnson. And the guy says, "Now, you were supposed to have turned in X amount of money, and you knew that you were supposed to do this back then," threatening the guy. And he says, "If you don't, you're out. You understand? You're out." And so he storms out the door, and I says, "How could you take that from that guy? Why?" And they never answered me, none of them, because these people had them in such fear, it was just unbelievable. Mr. Johnson was saying, "Well, the check hasn't come in yet. It hasn't come in. And as soon as it does, well, I'll be there, right there with the thousands of dollars to support that cult." And we're going to expose it more today from their own law, the Roman canon law. But right now we have some testimonials. Where's the first one from, Lydia?
From Miami, Florida.
Miami, okay, then what?
A Cuban man from Miami called to say he read the Dry Bones literature in the Miami Herald. He said he had been saved before and had fallen away. He said the sinner's prayer, and he rededicated his life, and he now wants to distribute the literature. He requested 50 dry bones in Spanish to start with. He asked for prayer for his brother, who is on drugs and in jail, and he also requested your messages on CD and tape.
Father God, save his brother. In the name of Jesus, bring down such conviction on him that he won't be able to stand it out there, that he'll come to you and surrender his life and become a good Christian soldier. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, and then what?
Then from Oklahoma City, a man from Norman, Oklahoma, got your Brace Yourselves literature on his car at a Walmart in Oklahoma City, and he called to say he would like to distribute our literature. He requested 50 pieces to begin with, and he also wanted to know the location of our church when we have services so he could attend.
Well, we have services all over the world. We have here in the United States a church in Los Angeles. It sits on around 200 acres of land in Saugus, Newhall, Valencia area. It's at 1313 6th Sierra Highway, Saugus, or they call it now Canyon Country, California. Then we have a church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and then we have one in Falk, Arkansas, that's very near Texarkana. Then we have church in New Jersey, Elizabeth, New Jersey, and then hundreds of churches all over the world, and many of them have 50, 55,000, 100,000. Some of them have even stated that they had a 500,000 people in the church, and some a million. And over there, it's nothing for them to have a 500,000 to a million people in a church. And so, you know, you'd have to call our witnessing line in order for you. We're going to give you that at the end of the program, Sharon. I'll read it to you, where you can get prayer, and also you can find out our itinerary on the air, on the radio programs. We're on radio all over the world. And then also you can find out, they get the addresses of the churches in the Philippines, in Germany, in Africa, India, and approximately 200 countries. All right, so, and then what else you have there, Lydia?
There was a Catholic lady from Boston. She called to say thank you very much for putting the Dry Bones literature in the Sunday Boston Globe. She loved it and believed everything in it. She is passing it around to her friends. She said when she read it, she just wanted to cry. It was so beautiful. She was amazed that they printed it in the Boston Globe. She called that an Antichrist newspaper. She said the Sunday edition of the Globe is the biggest one in the area, and everyone reads it. She is going to our website to get more information, and she is astounded that a Jew would be writing something like this.
Well, but I'm a completed Jew. Jesus, the actual God himself in the flesh, is Jewish. In other words, God is a Jew. And so you have to, if you're anti-Semitic, you have to get down on your hands and knees and ask that Jew to enter into you. If you don't, you have to become a spiritual Israelite, a spiritual Jew, a spiritual Hebrew in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no possible way that you can get in unless you honor God's honored people. You say, well, there's a lot of bad ones. Yes, and there's a lot of bad Irish and Italians and everything else, but there's a lot of good ones too. Okay? There's good and bad and everything. And if you'll notice, God delivered the Jews out of Egypt, and some of the Jews he killed. Actually, he allowed all of the old Jews to die because he chastens them that he loves. Only two Jewish people entered the Promised Land, the old-timers. The young ones wised up because they saw what God did to their mums and dads and grandmas and grandpas. He actually, in one instance, opened the earth and swallowed a bunch of Jews up right into hell. So there's no glory in being a Jew unless you're united with the world's greatest Jew. There's nothing to, there's no Jew or Gentile. It doesn't mean any difference. If you accept the Lord, whether you're a Gentile or a Jew, you still become a spiritual Israelite. But you have to, or you cannot be anti-Semitic and be a Christian. And the Vatican is anti-Semitic. Down in their catacombs, underneath the Vatican, there are tens of thousands of Jews buried. And my friend that owned Cashbox magazine, the Pope flew him in because he wanted my friend to put him on the national charts, because the Pope cut a 33 and a third RPM record, which they now could call CDs, and he wanted to wine and dine my friend so that he would put him on the charts and maybe make him number one, because the Pope has almost the whole world fooled, and they all just go and kiss his feet and kiss his ring and everything, and they just think it's a great honor to have their picture taken with the Pope. And but he was on, the Pope was busy when he got there, and the Pope instructed this guide to take him on a tour of the catacombs. And George, he asked, who's in all these coffins down here? There's just like tens of thousands of coffins. And the guy said, there are enemies. And he said, well, who are they? And he says, the Jews. And naturally, George just started, he took on a Gentile name because to dodge the different persecution that comes to the Jews from all the anti-Semitics in the world. Actually, it is that the people are jealous of the Jews because God honors them, and it was the Jews that gave the word of God to the world. The people of this world wouldn't even have the Bible if it wasn't for us Jews. And then, on top of that, it was through the Jews, the bloodline, that Jesus Christ came into the world. The seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the root of Jesse, the lion from the tribe of Judah. And there's the whole lineage of Jews where Jesus were able to distinguish where he came from. He was a Jew, and he still is. And he's waiting for you to kneel down before him so that your soul can be saved. Now, we don't have anything against Catholics. I mean, for God's sake, many people have died bringing the gospel to the Catholics. What the Vatican does is they arrest them for preaching to their the gospel, the true salvation message to the people in that cult. And most of our congregation are former Catholics, and we have a lot of Jews also, including myself. But no one brought the gospel to me. I was in a business office, an attorney's office in Beverly Hills, and with an entourage of mine, which I was doing a promotion for a singer. And all of a sudden, the Lord shut my ears off and started talking to me. And he talked right into my soul. He wasn't talking in my... I couldn't hear anything in my ears. But my whole body became a big spiritual ear. And I was hearing him threaten me. He said, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And I thought I was going crazy. And I've written all this up, and it's on the website, and you can have copies of my testimony. He threatened to kill me. You shall surely die. And he let me know that I'd go to hell. And for some, I never believed in heaven or hell before, but the Lord opened up my knowledge and made me to know there definitely was a heaven and hell, and that he knew everything that I'd ever done, and he knew me even before I was in my mother's womb, and before I ever was born. I mean, before I was born. And I knew that he knew everything. People are so stupid, and I, especially myself, so naive. They just think that humans know a lot. And God knows everything from the beginning of time. He knows exactly where you're going to wind up because he knows what you're going to choose to do. You're going to choose to accept him or you're going to deny him. If you accept him, he knows you're going to be in heaven. And if you deny him, he knows you're going to be in the lake of fire forever and ever, burning, and you won't be able to pass out, You won't be able to faint. It's just torment forever. And just when you think it gets the worst, it gets worse. And you just think, okay, I got to brace myself to be in this torment. I just got to get used to this. All of a sudden it gets worse. You say, oh my God, how can I get used to this? And just when you're saying that, it gets worse. You think it was bad just a few seconds ago? What about now? And then it gets worse. Because you had no mercy on people. If you did, you would have gotten saved and you would have been out spreading the word of God, preaching the gospel, teaching people who the Antichrist is, even at the peril of your life being taken. You would have been feeding, clothing, housing people with the word of God and then with the natural food as much as you possibly can. When we won so many souls to the Lord in Hollywood, California, that's where I got saved. We didn't. I just wouldn't go to work anymore after the Lord talked to me because it was very embarrassing, and I didn't want it to happen to me again. I just figured the Lord wanted me to do something for Him, and all I could do is keep searching around town and all over the place to find out what God wanted me to do. I mean, I didn't know the gospel, and I didn't know where to find what it was that God wanted me to do. I didn't know if the Bible was the right thing because it was so. There were so many Bibles, I just figured, and I've seen so many false Christians that I said, well, if I'm going to be like them, and I already am like them, so there isn't much to do. But I knew there was something. They were saying God is love, and I knew that God threatens people. So finally, one day when I just didn't have I didn't have the kind of money I had before, because I was just searching for the Lord, not working, I found Jesus. I found God and the Bible. And all of a sudden, the fear of the Lord started coming upon me. And that is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of God just really was terrifying me. And I got very frightened and I started screaming out, God, don't send my soul to that place. He was showing me how the people in hell were suffering. You could hear him saying, oh my God, it is true. We're here and we're stuck here according to Tony Alamo and according to all these other preachers that preach hellfire and brimstone. We're going to be here forever. And oh no, God, no. It's too late when that happens. And that's why the Lord sent us, because the time to repent is here on earth. Once your soul goes out to meet God, it's too late. So you have to repent here in this world before you die. Okay, now do you have another testimonial there?
Yes, there's one from Buster. It's an update on the Lady Emily.
Okay, there's a Lady Emily in a rest home here. We like going to rest homes and take little treats to them because hardly anybody visits them, and they just love it that somebody comes in and talks with them, because they're just sitting in a bed or lying down in a bed all day long or sitting in a chair and they watch boring television and they have somebody who's given them hospital food, which is certainly not what you call high class cuisine. Or it isn't even really good common food in most cases. And there's just no one there. And so they took this piece of literature that I wrote up on this woman. Her name was Bessie, in a rest home in Chicago. And she got, she was saved. She had a supernatural experience, and I wrote it up. And she had been baptized Protestant, and later on she was baptized Catholic. And she was raising kids, starving herself to death and everything because she didn't have enough money to feed her and the kids, so she fed them. And all of a sudden, she died. She got sick. You have to have a copy of this. The name of it is That's What It's All About. So the Spirit of the Lord took her down into hell and showed her the burning pits. She said, oh, Lord, I didn't want to be here. I never wanted to be here. I raised these kids. I never got into trouble. I never did anything like that. And she says, And I didn't never wanted to come here, and I was baptized. And so the Lord showed her a vision down in hell where he was dying on the cross and shedding his blood. And he says, that's what it's all about, Bessie. And she says, I never knew, Lord, I never knew. Give me another chance. Send me back and I'll tell everybody. These children that I'm raising, my own children, and my brother, and my sister, and all these different people don't know these things. If you'll send me back, I'll tell everybody that I know. And in order for us to do, so she got, the Lord said, okay, if you'll do that, you make a promise to me, I'll let you back, take you back. So she saw herself entering into her dead, cold body, and there were people sitting around sort of mourning for her, and then they says, oh my God, she's awake. And so these boys from our church were going down the hallway in this rest home, and she called to them, and she said, boys, will you come in here and talk to me? And they said, so she immediately started telling that testimony of hers, and the brothers called me and told me about it, and I said, ask her if she will allow me to, if you can go in there and tape it and allow me to print it up and send it all over the world, and I'll keep putting it out until the, even after she's gone to be with the Lord. And she agreed, so she laid down this testimony, and then this Sister Teresa from our church, I ran it in a newspaper here, the testimony, because it shows it doesn't matter if you go to church or if you've been baptized or anything, you must be born again of the Spirit, just like Jesus told Nicodemus. And so we took the Sister Teresa, Buster's wife, took this into this rest home, and she was in a coma. She had IVs in her arms and blood plasma and even a catheter in her and all, every kind of thing going, wires all over the place, and she was in a coma. And so I told everybody that when people are in comas, they can hear. And so just go ahead and read the article to her. And she opened up her eyes and she took her hand and said, if you hear and understand everything I'm saying, just squeeze my hand. And if you do that to people that are in comas, they can hear you. And they can... And they have the power to squeeze her hands. They just can't move, really. And so she prayed her through, and she squeezed her hand real tight to the point that it, she thought that she bruised her hand. And then she, the next day, she went back to see her, and here she's up and about. All the tubes and wires and everything are out of her. And she prayed her through and got her healed. She prayed for her to be healed, and she got healed. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and so here she went into this. There was another woman in there, and she was from a church, a local church here that is a United Pentecostal church, and they've been fighting us tooth and nail. That happened to with, you know, that happens all the time. People hear rumors and lies about you, and so they just get busy saying everything. False thing about they join up with the Antichrist. And so this woman from that church is there, and her daughter goes to that church. And so she witnessed the healing of this woman right in front of her eyes. And so now she knows that we're of the Lord. Because people, that's how people know that you're of the Lord, is these signs will follow those that believe. You lay hands on people and they'll recover. You preach the gospel, be saved. You'll cast the devils out of them. And you'll raise the dead. And the blind will be healed. And the maimed will be healed. And all sorts of other signs. So here is, she went back another time. And here is the response from Buster's wife. Buster actually wrote it up. And so go ahead and read it.
Alberta is the roommate of Emily.
Okay, Alberta is the mother of the daughter and the son-in-law that goes to the United Pentecostal Church out here in the Falk, Arkansas area. Then what?
Alberta, in a conversation with my wife, Teresa, told her that she came out of state a few months ago and her daughter had moved to Falk, Arkansas some time ago. Alberta is a Pentecostal church member, as is her daughter. They go to the United Pentecostal Church in Falk, which is one of the entities that has continually come against us, led by Roger Mixon, their pastor.
Yeah, this is Buster and Teresa writing this up. Then what?
Alberta is now reading Tony Alamo's literature in the nursing home. As late as December 21st, 2006, my wife visited her and Emily, and there is Alamo Literature, Messiah Books, and the That's What It's All About tear sheet from the Texarkana Gazette newspaper in their room and right beside Alberta's bed as well. Alberta has seen with her own eyes the miraculous salvation and physical healing of Emily, and knows that Teresa visited Emily in the hospital and that Emily was deeply touched by the That's What It's All About literature in the newspaper, and then was ready to ask Jesus into her heart and receive salvation.
Well, this piece of literature, That's What It's All About, should go to every rest home. All those senior citizens should read that. It should go to all the senior citizens in the world, not just the United States. The Lord says for us to get the and distribute his word, preach it, and teach it all over the world, to every nation. Then what?
Then Teresa led her through the sinner's prayer. God touched Emily by using Tony Alamo's writings in literature and my wife's constant visits to the hospital and nursing home.
Right. Now, young people listening to this, they probably, we don't want... But the senior citizens understand that very well, because most of the people have been baptized in one church or another, and they know they're not saved. And so this is such a good thing, because they're just about ready to go out to meet God. And, you know, it's just a wonderful piece of literature from Bessie Haskell in Chicago. Then what?
Alberta knows that only an individual that has laid their life down for God and is truly saved and has God working in and through them could write such literature as that of Tony Alamo. She also knows that Satan would not send anyone with soul-winning literature that would save their souls and allow them to enter the kingdom of heaven. Only God and godly people would do that. Emily is 88 years old and Alberta is 82 years old. Praise the Lord, Buster.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, that's it?
Yes.
So now let's read from the message that I was bringing the other day, and then we'll do a little bit of Roman canon law, a little bit of cult awareness network. And that, let me read something here from the Word of God. This is from Proverbs, the 5th chapter. Verse 13, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Firm hold of instruction. In other words, when you're hearing instruction from the Bible, latch on to it, and like with a steel or iron or steel grip, and don't let it go. Because and the Lord says, keep instruction, for she is your life. That's your eternal life. Now, a lot of people get weary and they just get tired and all this kind of stuff. But instruction is something that you must take hold of. And take not only hold of, but firm hold of. And do not let go. Just like get a scissor grip up on it and then just wrap your arms around it and keep it. Keep instruction, for she is your life. Instruction is your life. And the Bible, so here's some instruction. Avoid wickedness. Now, I'll show you in the Bible where the Bible says that the Roman Vatican is the Antichrist. There's nothing more wicked than that. So here, and also, you know, breaking of any of the Ten Commandments. Avoid the wicked. Verse 14, do not enter the wicked person's path, or the path of the wicked. Don't go into her ways, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. And so it says, don't walk in the way of evil. Well, the Roman canon, Catholic cult, is the exact opposite of the Bible. The Bible says that anything that is the exact opposite of God is evil. As a matter of fact, the Lord says that the Roman Catholic cult, the Vatican, the hierarchy I'm talking about, they are the cause of every evil thing on earth. It says she is the mother of every abomination on earth. So don't, and now if you're going to take a firm hold on instruction, you're not going to enter the path of these people, and you will not walk in the way of evil, this evil cult that has murdered hundreds of millions of people, 6 million Jews. I've got pictures of Pope John Paul II worshiping with devil worshippers. I'm going to put them on the website. I've got him worshiping with the Hare Krishnas. I've got him worshiping before the statue of Mary. All these things are an abomination. You're not even to wish those kind of people Godspeed. Or you're not even supposed to say, have a good day, anything like that. Do not walk in the way of evil. And that's what they are, is evil. And when you see somebody putting a homosexual leader in a church, I mean, you're supposed to not just walk away from that. You're supposed to run from the very appearance of evil. The Bible says, verse 15, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. But they say, well, aren't we supposed to go in there and witness to him? Well, would you send a prostitute into a house of whorehouse and go in there and witness? No, because she'd fall right into the same thing. Some people think that they can flirt with something that might that would destroy their soul, and they just stand there saying, the blood of Jesus is against you. The blood of Jesus is against you, instead of being like Joseph when that woman leaped upon him and wanted to have sex with him. She had her hand on his jacket, his coat, and he slipped out of it and ran. He didn't stand there and say, while she was trying to rape him, the blood of Jesus is against you, the blood of Jesus. He was gone. He was like history. Well, but, you know, she had the power to throw him in prison, and she did. But he would rather do that than sin and go to hell. Okay, so that's what the Lord means when he says, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. And another place, and pass on, pass it by. And another place says, flee from the very appearance of evil. Flee like Joseph did. Run! Because it's your life. If you just stay there and say the blood of Jesus is against you, and just let somebody strip you of your clothing and everything, you're not following instruction. You're not doing that. And the Lord, you'll wind up in hell, the lake of fire. You're not taking firm hold of instruction. The Bible says flee from the very appearance of evil. Do not hold of the instruction. Don't let go. Run from the very appearance of evil. And when it's that evil, don't be going into a singles bar. You know there's a bunch of female vultures in there just ready to have sex. They don't know God. And they don't care about him. And you should be distributing literature, but not there in that place, because they're not interested in that. Distribute it to them on the streets. Now, for they do not sleep, these kind of people, unless they have done evil. And that's what the whole Vatican is about. They cannot sleep. and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. That's what they're trying to do. They won't even be able to sleep unless they can cause you to fall away from the Lord. For they eat the bread of wickedness. That's all they do. They look for wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Run them out of town. Come on, boys. Let's all unite together. That's what's so bad about democracy. Democracy was also invented by Rome. And the reason they do have democracy is because they know that the masses of people on the whole are not bright. And they know that they through the media, they can incite people to do away with the people that are good. Anytime I hear them saying somebody's like Adolf Hitler or something like that, or that they're wicked, I know that there must be some good about them, or they wouldn't be talking bad. And any time they're exalting somebody like the Pope, I know that they are wicked, because the Bible tells us so. All right, now let's read some more.
If we break the moral and ethical code of God, it will bring both us and those around us a lot of problems.
Not only a lot of problems, it'll take your soul to hell and the lake of fire. So take firm hold of instruction from God, not anybody else. Do not let God's instructions go. Keep her. Keep instruction, for she is your very life, your immortal life. Okay, and then keep going.
God tells us what sin is. If you break any of the Ten Commandments...
You've broken them all, right?
Yes.
Okay, now let's go into Roman canon law, because this is Satan's instructions. These are Satan's instructions, and the Lord says, no, take my instructions. He says, take firm hold of God's instructions, and do not let God's instructions go. Keep God's instruction, for God's instruction is your life. The Vatican's instructions, Roman canon law, is your death and hell in the lake of fire. Okay, go ahead.
The object of any theological inquiry concerning the church...
That they're talking about, not the body of Christ, but they're talking about the Roman Catholic Satanic devil's church. Then what?
Must be always the whole Christian communion.
Well, they're calling themselves Christians for years, and that's why a lot of Jews can't get saved, because they heard the Catholic bells ringing and the Lutheran bells ringing while they were being slaughtered in gas chambers, their loved ones, and were being burned in the ovens. And we have pictures also of the Roman Catholic nuns marching with swastika flags that have the swastika on it and armbands with the swastikas on it. And I want them to put it on the website. Been wanting to do that for a long time. And then to show pictures of the Pope worshiping with these Satan worshipers and all these ungodly people. They have the United Council of Church meetings, and I sent some of our boys there to check it out, what they were doing. They were loaded on pot and pills, and there's bottles of whiskey laying all over the place, and they had these different satanic charms on them and these pointed hats, and they're wicked. I mean, they are just hate God, these people. Then what?
This rule we should never lose sight of.
We should never lose sight of that cult. Then that's what they're saying. Then what?
Not even when we are investigating the place and role of law.
Now, they're talking about not God's law. They're talking about Roman canon law, the devil's law. Then what? Which is Antichrist.
At the present, however, the one church of Christ is broken or wounded, since there are divisions among the believers.
No, there's no division among the believers of Christ that are the body of Christ. Only they call it division when we true Christians don't want to join the devil. Okay, then what else?
There are divisions among the believers in proclaiming their faith and in ordering the operations of their communities.
Yeah, now they call the world community today, and they say that we all have to believe Roman canon law, which is the Satan's law, and not the law of God. How evil. Well, I see my time is up, and we're going to get more into this. We're going to expose also the fact that the Cult Awareness Network, which was destroyed by one of our attorneys, Eric, in New York, he's going to go after them again because they've reestablished after he destroyed them, and they're under another name in Colorado now. And they're the ones that are passing around all this false information about my church and other Christian churches. And that's what they want to do is destroy us. And they figure by putting out all these slanderous remarks that they can do a good job that way. And what they do is open up these internet boards and people read them. And with all these backsliders that are actually homosexual, we found out that one of them, I told him that God's going to get him, one of them that was doing these things just had a heart attack, a stroke, and he's in the hospital now, and he can't talk very much anymore. And so one down, and I know the Lord's going to get the rest of them.
Amen.
Okay, now those of you that are interested in taking firm hold of instruction, that means God's instruction, and you don't ever want to let the God's instruction go, and you want to keep God's instruction, for God's instruction is your life and your eternal life, then say this prayer to God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength so that you can be born again of the Holy Spirit. Say to God, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by grace. Grace doesn't mean anything. The Bible states that grace means power. So if you want to be raised by power, Jesus came, it says, with grace and truth, but that means with power to save and to deliver you from everything in this world and the truth of how to do it. And so I open the door of my heart, and I ask you to come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, Sharon, tell them four different ways that they can receive a copy of a CD or a tape, audio tape of this message, which, again, is program number 277. And if they need a Bible and they can't afford it, we'll send you one, and we'll send you literature as well as the Messiah book. Sharon, tell them.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Yeah, the world has been here, and a lot of people have been living life up to even 50, 60, 70 years old, and they've never done anything for the Lord. They've let the days slip by, and there's no rewards that they have stored up for themselves in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to play, you know, the days we let, this is with myself singing, the days we let slip by. But until tomorrow, make sure to tune in. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and praise the Lord. And don't let the days slip by anymore.
Like robins in the springtime, when a day is come and gone, it is then a part of eternity and time. The days we what we can do tomorrow for us. Tomorrow never comes, and we're the guilty ones. The days we let slip by, we'll never live again. Saved or lost to the clouds or fire below, the days we let slip by forever we will have to face when judgment comes before us. Then we'll fully be aware how much we should have cared. We'll cry to to live again.